Welcome back, Forrest Company, hour number two here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Connor Newt, joined by Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman keeping us going behind the glass. Forrest Company is brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger, financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. I teased it before the break, but it's always what we do, second hour, first segment, question of the day. Jake Wallman asked, are you the kind of fan, if you're going into an enemy territory, as I am on Tuesday, I will be in Knoxville to watch my Wildcats take on the Tennessee Vols. Are you the kind of fan to egg another fan on in enemy territory, or are you the kind of guy to just sit there? Or anything else? I'm going back and forth on it. I have some sense of social anxiety. So believe it or not, I'm kind of the guy that just sit there and snap a little bit and clap. But part of me wants to go into Knoxville and just be like, oh yeah, I'm turning up for you. But I also don't want to be doused in beer on the 3-hour drive home. So I don't know. When I come to Vanderbilt, I unfortunately won't be there this year for reasons. But when I go to Vanderbilt, I'm loud. I'll chirp at them because Vanderbilt fans have this thing where they're not going to like that I said this, but they boo everything. Everything. Everything's against them. So I chirp at them a little bit. When I went to the women's game a couple weeks ago, Kentucky and Vanderbilt, some lady yelled behind me. It was a little ticky-tack foul. I'll never forget this. I'll be using this the rest of my life. She said, well, she ain't bleeding. And I was like, this isn't prison ball. So I'll chirp right back at him. I will be using that for the rest of my life. He ain't bleeding. There's no foul. No bleeding.
It's almost like the Alabama Willie guy, whatever.
Roll Tide Willie?
Roll Tide Willie. Yeah, it's something like that. But you're right, though. I feel like when I'm at a game, this is me, I read the room a little bit. If the fan base is, let's say, for example, I don't know, say if it's a soccer fan base, like those are very passionate fans. I know over at Nashville SC, when I go as like a spectator, if there's somebody on the other team that I know from personal experiences, I'm cheering for that guy, and it's going to be loud and proud. Like,
yeah.
Just something like that. But as for like a football game, yeah, there were times where I go to a Mississippi State game if it was away, and of course you're not allowed to bring your cowbell. I would be that obnoxious fan sometimes, but I read the room. I don't tend to go out of line and take my shirt off and yell at somebody from behind me. There was one time I went to a Georgia Vandy game. This was probably, I was in high school still, so probably like 2015, 2016, and I had a few buddies with me, and we parked at the Wendy's right over there next to the stadium. And we walked in, and you just hear all this barking. And so one of my buddies, after Vandy, they kept it like close to the first quarter. It was like 7-0 Vandy. And right as the whistle blew, my buddy turned around and just started barking at all the Georgia fans.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I would have done that. But it was to the point of like, maybe I'll step it back a little bit. I did go down and get some food. I just didn't want to get heckled.
I'm not afraid to cheer coming into Tuesday because it's in Knoxville.
Right.
We're going to be outnumbered because it's a home game for Tennessee. But Kentucky fans travel. And especially in a game like this, a rivalry game that'll be probably a top 10 matchup. They're going to travel. And you're going to be sitting with them because looking at the ticket prices right now, we got our tickets for $40.
Hey.
The Kentucky fans are going to buy all that out. I'm telling you right now. So I'll probably be a little bit more energetic because I'll be around all the blue people and we'll band together. But I'm not usually the fan to get excited. If I'm at a home game, I'll be at Rupp Arena, not this Saturday, but next Saturday. So I'll miss that show. We will do Newt's Notes live from Rupp Arena, though. That's going to be exciting.
I cannot wait.
That's going to be exciting.
Can't wait for Mark Pope to hop on.
Yeah, he's going to get, hey, Mark, what are your thoughts on the game today?
What are your thoughts on Forrest Company? Who are your big fan? Yeah.
Who are your big fan? Mostly of the guy that sits in the chair on the far left, but those other guys are all right.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm not one to just, especially, it depends on the environment, too.
Yes.
If I'm at a football game, absolutely. If I'm at a basketball game, sure, I'll get energetic. Baseball, it's a little harder for me to get, you know, absolutely electric unless it's a monster play because baseball is just a slower paced game. Crowd is a little quiet unless it's a just major Angel Hernandez ump show.
Yeah.
I've never been to golf. I don't know too much about golf. Hockey, of course, I'm screaming the entire time, especially for the Preds.
Thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth. I feel like hockey is just a different environment where you can just yell at the top of your lungs all game.
Yeah.
All game.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a good thing that the Preds do as well. Like, the environment is just, throughout the years, has been built up to where you can do stuff like that. And, like, for you, being a Kentucky fan, if you, like, when you go to the Knoxville game, you're going to be able to, I guess, yell at the top of your lungs more than a Mississippi State fan would, because there's more reputation under Big Blue Nation.
It's a rivalry.
Yeah, there's more weight that carries on with the name itself. It's a basketball school. We all know it.
Oh, yeah.
And with basketball schools, there carries more of a fan base that's passionate. I think when you have the underlying tone of being a passionate fan base, then you could do more stuff like that. Whereas for me, being a Mississippi State fan, I feel like being at a football game with cowbells, a home game, I can be obnoxious. I can do all that stuff. Where if I was in an away game, yeah, you got to tone it back a little bit.
Yeah, it is for sure. That's not a sport, obviously, but that's kind of what's funny about being at a WWE event, is the crowd is unified.
Yes.
They all share the same opinion. So those chants that you hear that are organic, that just come up, everyone in the building is doing it because it's like this genius plant that the company puts to get you to go. I mean, you can obviously disagree on what wrestlers you like, but a lot of it is, like, there's no beef. Everyone is there for... That's a common misconception. A lot of people are there to, you know, just watch the show.
See the beef.
See the beef. The beefcakes land down, the smacketh down. I feel bad because this is Jake Wallman's question, and I haven't even gotten to Jake Wallman's answer. So, Jake Wallman, if I were to tell you you're going to Rupp Arena to watch the Vols and the Wildcats, are you taking your shirt off and you just laying it down, or are you sitting there a little quiet and misconstrued?
So, in high school, I was definitely the type of guy that would chirp.
I could totally see,
like,
that.
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, sitting at, you know, high school basketball games. I was chirping guys that would come in and stuff. In college, yeah, I'd kind of run my mouth a little bit too. And then I guess now that I'm a little bit more grown up, you kind of got to read the room, kind of like Frazier said.
Yeah.
If I'm in Knoxville, if I'm in Neyland, if I'm at a Titans game, a Preds game, yeah. I mean, I may read the room a little bit and kind of see, you know, who we're playing, and, you know, kind of knowing the fan base and stuff like that. But, and this is if my team's at home. If I'm away, I may be a little bit more reserved.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and then if something happens that's a big play, then you kind of, you know, the moment may grab you. So I guess I'm reading the room a little bit.
The thing I experience, and you guys don't experience this anymore, but I'm sure you did back in college, I got to deal with the frat guys that come after me. when I went to Oxford to watch MTSU,
yeah, you told us about this.
Some frat guy came up to me and said, "Brother, you drove all the way from Murfreesboro to watch your team get pounded?" I was like, "First off, brother, if you want to call me that,
brother."
First off, Hogan, I'm wearing a powder blue polo right now, so I don't know why you're talking to me. Second, this is a buy-in game, and I'm just here to watch your team, not MTSU. I'm here to watch your team because I drove all this way. I paid money. I want to watch an SEC football team play ball. So I'm like, maybe let's get over our insecurities that you have paying for friends and drinking every night. I'm not taking a shot at frat kids.
It's fairly accurate.
It's a little one. I personally don't see the point in paying for your friendships. But if you were in a frat, good for you.
Amen.
But, I mean, it's going to be bad when I get to Knoxville and they see me in blue and they're going to...
I do actually have a story of the time one time I chirped my mouth in high school.
Oh, boy.
We were playing... This was when Eagleville was still single A, and private schools were integrated with public schools when it came to, like, divisions and stuff.
It's getting good already.
And we were playing MTCS, and there was a big, big rivalry between us and MTCS. And, you know, there had been some chirping on social media, and I went up to one of their basketball players after the boys game, and I gave him a quarter and said, "This is what your game's worth," and I just walked off. Yeah, it was. Yeah,
lay it down
on him. And I think we actually lost.
Oh, I mean, Frazier and I could tell you, Bishop's Cup runs deep.
Oh, it's,
there's some smack talk that goes there.
Yeah,
so.
Eagleville had some intense rivalries with MTCS was one, Forest Chapel Hill was another one, Cascade when we played them annually was pretty good.
Yeah,
so. I was never the kid in high school that was able to play sports. I wasn't athletic enough. I could never make the cut.
Right.
So fortunately, I was given the opportunity to be a part of the football team as a manager.
Yeah.
So every year we'd play Father Ryan in the Bishop's Cup. Yeah. I would talk that smack from the sideline.
And the thing is, with the Bishop's Cup, like from a player's perspective, the chirping started Sunday night.
Yeah.
It didn't start on Monday.
Oh, it's all week.
It's all week long.
It's all week.
And that's the beauty of high school rivalries. And that
because you know them and they know you outside of school and
they'll
stuff.
It's a Catholic community, so yeah. Everyone knows each other. But they'll DM you or they'll text you, "Hey, you're going down, pal." So that's why one time I went undefeated in the Bishop's Cup in high school. I'll just say that.
I went 3-4, no
four
big and deal.
4-0 throughout high school. So one time they came to us on the hill in Hendersonville. We pounded them. So I did not hesitate to walk out on the field, blow them a little kiss, and wave to their sideline.
Oh, that's very thoughtful of you,
I like
Connor.
That, Connor.
Kill them with kindness.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to send them home with what they deserved.
Yeah, now, to add on to that, my chirping wasn't as kind. I mean, a lot of these kids, so back in the day, all these, like, parochial schools used to play each other in, like, a parochial league football. Now it's all conglomerate into, like, some parochial schools in one region.
Nashville Catholic or whatever it is.
Make, like, an A team and a B team or whatever. But back in the day, schools had their own teams. So, I mean, it all kind of started in 7th and 8th grade when you'd have a rivalry with St. Edward or St. Henry. And
nothing better than St. Edward and St. Henry on an 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
It was beautiful. It was like college football at its finest. But like when you have stuff like that, it all bakes into what can happen in high school. Everybody remembers that 3rd and goal that happened 7th grade year, and then you carry that feud into high school football, and that guy now goes to John Paul, and you're like, "All right, I'm going after you this play." Like that stuff, it resonates.
It does.
Even when I played JV football against John Paul, like that's how it was. We'd all go back and forth Sunday to Friday or Sunday to Thursday when JV games were. And then once it got to big boys up on Fridays, everybody meant business.
Oh, yeah.
And the good thing is it doesn't stick to just one sport either.
Oh, no.
And, I mean, you can, even if you just play football, but you're at the basketball games and you're at the baseball games, you can still talk. I mean,
I'll tell you now, I lit up the floor in, parochial league. I was
there you go.
Stretch four. I was like Dirk Nowitzki out there, just stroking it. Anyways, speaking of basketball, big day in the SEC locally. My Cats in town in Nashville over on Broadway taking on the Commodores. And a big, big one in the SEC. Another local team, the Tennessee Vols, taking on number one Auburn. We'll break that down next here on Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back, Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And gentlemen, the song is appropriate because Saturday night is always all right for fighting. Or in this case, playing basketball. Kentucky and Vanderbilt play later this afternoon. I believe tip-off is at 2 p.m. You can hear that here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game with Kevin Ingram and Tim Thompson on the call, taking on my Wildcats. You see me sporting a little bit of that today, but
just a little.
Just a little. It's just a hat and
a blue
various
vest.
Colors. Anyways, it's a big one for Vanderbilt. Coming off a big win last weekend against Tennessee, where they led the majority of the game, had all the momentum, blew it at the end. Came down to one free throw by Chaz Lanier, misses it, ball game. They knock off number one at the time, now number six, Can they carry that momentum? They play well at home, it seems. Mark Byington has been every bit of the coach they need. Not worried about, you know, dressing nicely, what kind of shoes he's wearing, how expensive his suit is. Concern. I believe he shows up in a pullover and some sweats or something.
He knows ball.
He knows ball.
He just wants to play ball.
Play ball. And he's got his guys playing ball. And they play well at home. As of recently, Memorial has always been a bit of a challenge for Kentucky. They either come in and blow them out or it comes down to the wire. It depends on, if you ask me, if the Kentucky that shows up is the team that is capable of beating number two Duke or Gonzaga or Florida or any of the six ranked teams they've played and only lost to one, small slight pat on the back, they're going to run Vanderbilt off the gym. Now, if Kentucky shows up and plays the way they played against Georgia or Clemson or Ohio State, this could come down to the wire. But if you ask me, I don't think Vanderbilt can keep up shot for shot the level of Kentucky's scoring. I think if Jackson Robinson comes in, has a good day, I think Otega Owe comes in, has a good day inside, I think if Kobe Brea off the bench shows up and is the best shooter in the nation that Jay Billis has deemed him as, I think we have 25-30 point ball game. But that's not to underestimate what Vanderbilt's capable of. I think they're a good team. I think they're just a product of the deepest conference in basketball. I think the SEC is the most dominant it has ever been. And I think Vanderbilt's a big part of that because Vanderbilt has exceeded expectations. But we're going to have a ball game today, Nick Frazier.
Yeah, you make a good point about, you know, if Kentucky's hitting on all cylinders, it could be a big deficit of a game. I think differently, though. I think Vandy actually has something here. Maybe a guy like Jason Edwards shows up to play today. You know, I mean, something along those lines.
I was thinking A.J. Hoggard is the X factor.
I don't know. I think that Vandy's going to need a game out of Jason Edwards when they played Tennessee. I think that's going to be the number one factor for me. Sure, didn't have, you know, a lot of rebounds, he had three assists, but put up 18 points. When you can get double-digit points out of your perennial guys on your roster, I think that's where you're going to get, you know, your deciding factors. Because if again, I'm going to go back to Kentucky of last week when they played Alabama. Yeah. I asked you about Lamont Butler. What does he need to do to beat Alabama? And what did you say, Connor? He is the engine. He's the motor. He's the motor that runs that whole entire team. And if he's not giving assists or getting rebounds or scoring points, obviously that's what a basketball player does, then you're not going to get the true production. And I think that it's all about having a bounce-back game for Butler. And if he doesn't have a bounce-back game, I mean, you know it more than I do. But
no, he's the kind of player that doesn't have to be scoring at a high level for that team to be winning.
Right.
He's a defensive guard. He held Mark Sears in check for a great portion of the Alabama game because he's just in your face. Doesn't get called for the ticky-tack fouls most of the time.
He's not bleeding.
He's not. He ain't bleeding. He ain't bleeding. I'll never forget that. But it's just he sets the tempo.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, I think, plays more of a slow, methodical pace of basketball compared to Kentucky. Kentucky will just fast break. We got a 3-on-2. We're kicking it out to the corner, and we're draining a three on your face. Vanderbilt, I think, plays similar to the women's team, slow drives, methodical, you know, pick and roll.
And it controls the clock, too.
They do. Kind of like their football team.
Huh.
You ever think about that?
You know, you guys were talking about key players. And I said this last week when Tennessee played Vanderbilt. Jalen Carey is a guy that I would love to have on this Tennessee team.
Mm.
Him and Mannion are the
Ezra
two.
Ezra Mannion is good.
He feels like he's been at Vanderbilt for 20 years.
Yeah.
But those two guys are the enforcers, I feel like, of that team. Where, you know, they kind of want to, you know, they can get inside and they can, you know, get those gritty buckets and, you know, just play not dirty, but physical, yeah, in your face. And, you know, looking at the, you know, Vanderbilt's game with Tennessee, Carey had 14 points and 10 boards. Looking at his game at Alabama, 2 points or 6 points on 2-for-7 shooting. Not the winning performance that, and again, it is Alabama. You know, that's a really good basketball team. So, you know, credit to them. But, you know, just not that winning performance that I think Vanderbilt needed to go on the road and get that win. So, you know, when they go up today against Kentucky, I think that, you know, a big game from him is critical.
It's also worth noting Kentucky doesn't play as well on the road as they do in Rupp.
It's true.
So for Vanderbilt, that means it's a steep mountain, but it's not insurmountable.
Well, and you get them at home.
Yeah,
you
know, that's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, you get them in, so, you know, Memorial Magic.
Bingo.
In play today.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, Connor.
Exactly, yeah, well. Memorial Magic tends to lead to a lot of whistles, we'll say. Over on the other side, later tonight, 7:30 p.m. Central over in Auburn, the Tigers in the jungle taking on the Vols. Looking at the initial injury report, going to be down some guys for the Vols. J.P. Estrella obviously out. Jordan Ganey questionable. Igor Miletic Jr. is probable. Jani Broome, arguably the SEC Player of the Year, in my opinion, questionable. Questionable is usually the term thrown out when he's 50 to 75% ready to play.
Are they going to wrap something up?
Yeah, I mean, he had a left ankle sprain.
Uh-oh.
So he may just say, Bruce Pearl may be out there putting, hey, we got a brace for you if you want to go play against the number 6 team in the country at home.
Yeah.
If I'm Jani Broome, I'm saying, oh, yeah. On the other side, Tennessee's questionable Jordan Ganey, I believe will play. Igor Miletic will probably play. But Auburn, in my opinion, is the best team in the SEC. I think they've proven that. I think they've proven they can win without their best player in Jani Broome. Tennessee offensively has been struggling as of late. Chaz Lanier is not the same Chaz Lanier he was when he was playing against Overbrook. but I think Tennessee does show up for big games for the most part, unless you're playing in Tallahassee, Florida, where you get 30-pieced by
that
Todd Golden, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around why that happened, but it is what it is. I think it's going to be a game. I think this is going to be a shot-for-shot blow. I think Tennessee has a good defense to hold that off the Auburn offense in check a little bit. But ultimately, it comes down to your playmakers. If Jani Broome is in that game, give me Auburn by 15.
Yeah.
And I think he does that single-handedly.
I'm looking at this as a 20-point game.
Really?
I told you at the beginning of the year, and this is not me hating on the Vols, but I am hating on the Vols. I just don't see this Vols team being like the over the hump team for me. They're going to be a great team throughout the year, but I mean, all that matters is coming to the tournament. And if you get to the tournament and you don't produce,
both these teams are making the turn.
Oh, 100%. But I'm just saying though, like, you want to have a good season to prepare you for the tournament, and the Vols have had that. It's just the key games, like in Auburn or those top five games. If you can't produce in those, then why? Then why even be a good team? A
resume comparison is not there.
No.
Auburn's got key win. Like, Auburn's not afraid to play anyone.
Right.
Credit to Bruce Pearl for that. Tennessee's non-conference, other than maybe Illinois, who got blown out the other day by Wisconsin, maybe? Yeah.
Believe so.
Think so. Illinois and Louisville, who looks like a much better win now because they play in a weak ACC conference, and that's not a shot at Tennessee. It's more of a shot at the ACC because Kentucky beat Louisville too.
Yeah.
But I just think Auburn has more depth. I think Bruce Pearl has those guys playing for themselves, or not for themselves, for him.
Yeah.
Chad Baker Mazzaro is another guy I'm looking at for Auburn who's just phenomenal. So I think shot for shot, blow for blow, I'm taking the Auburn Tigers every time. I think this is just, the jungle is a really tough place to play. I think they're a good team. I think they're the best team in the SEC. It's probably Auburn and Alabama, which will be a really fun game when that comes around. But it's just, there's too many struggles going on for Tennessee.
No, you're right. And, you know, going back to that Jordan Ganey designation of questionable, the official designation, I think he was sick this week. So, you know, we'll see if he can make it. But, like, I mean, Tennessee, this team just doesn't have that enforcer that they had last year with Tobey Awaka. And that kind of, you know, you talk about the depth. They don't have the depth. So, I mean, I could see them pulling this off, you know, just kind of making the game ugly and, you know, in the second half just being a low-scoring game. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee not gets blown out but win or loses by 8 to 10 points.
Nah, this is going to be a double-digit loss, but I'm sorry. Hey, let me clarify something. Somebody's texting me right now about, like, Tennessee is 4-1 against top 25 teams. If you go back and look, Baylor right now...
Unranked.
Unranked. And they were, at the time, 23.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Georgia, obviously...
Unranked.
There you go.
At home.
Yes. Florida was
no,
a
Georgia,
loss.
No, Georgia was ranked the time, at
yeah,
the time.
They were 23.
Okay, but now you're saying they're
unranked.
Unranked.
Yeah,
okay.
Now,
current. All right.
Arkansas was a win.
Unranked.
There you go. And then now you come down to Mississippi State, I believe now is unranked, if I'm not mistaken.
Are they unranked?
They might be.
Are they low-end 20s?
Might be low-end 20s, because they beat Ole Miss last week.
No, they were 14th coming into the game Tuesday night.
Yeah, so they were 15th when they beat Ole Miss. So they kind of, there's a rank. Okay. So, like, out of that right there, it just – if you can go 500 or at least above 500 against teams that finish – as a top 25 when you look back at it, I think that signifies a solid team.
Can I read this?
Please.
I'm not one to go after our texters. I love our texters. I think they're great. But Beth on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, your host with the bad attitude is the reason we hate fan bases. A guy who's accomplished nothing in the arena thinks he knows best. Sad.
Talking about me?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I think we're both being pretty honest when it comes to SEC ball. And, I mean, if you disagree with our opinion, that's fine. But don't say we have a bad attitude when I don't think there's been a negative word thrown out here. I don't know.
What arena? I'm curious.
What arena? Yeah.
What arena?
What have you accomplished in the arena?
I was talking about Man in the Arena? I don't know.
Man in the Arena. We've done a show from Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah.
We've accomplished something in an arena.
I would say this is kind of like our arena.
This is the Thunderdome.
This is the Thunderdome.
Okay. Well, Beth, you have a nice name.
Your name is very pretty. Yeah. I really like it. Coming up next, though, speaking of arenas... Pred's playing in an arena tonight. That was a terrible.
It's okay.
Switch,
they're playing
but
Anaheim.
It's okay. They're playing in Anaheim on a 5-game win streak, looking like maybe they're putting things together. If they keep this up, are they dark horses to sneak into the NHL playoffs? That's up next. Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Man, I love this song. I love Kiss. Such a pretty song.
It is.
I wonder how many arenas they've played in.
They have like a final tour or whatever.
They've
right?
accomplished a lot in the arena. Welcome back, Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Connor Newt here with Nick Frazier and Jake Wellman spinning the tunes back. Jake, we hear you calling. The Predators looking to accomplish something in the arena in Anaheim to go to a 6-game win streak, twice as much as their highest win streak this season, which of course is 3. They're playing good hockey right now. Really good hockey. That top line is clicking. Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault. They're just dishing. I told you guys, my little victory lap here, once Philip Forsberg got his first goal behind him after his little 17-game goal drought, he's going to get going. Now he scored 5 in his last 6 or something like that.
Yeah, he's on a 7-game goal streak. It's ridiculous.
7-game goal streak.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Had 2 last game.
Yes, he did. Against... San Jose, another wild game. Preds blew 2-3 goal leads at one point, but pulled it out. Eustace Onanen has been the surprise of the season for me. Of course, didn't start here in Nashville, started in Colorado. Preds flip Scott Wedgwood, who began as the backup here, to Colorado for Eustace Onanen. Colorado also made a blockbuster trade last night, trading Mikko Rantanen over to the Carolina Hurricanes. But going back on that, Eustace Onanen, can I say he's been playing better goaltending than UC Saros has?
As of late, yeah.
I mean, UC Saros gave up, and here in Bridgestone Arena against the San Jose Sharks, UC Saros gave up 5 goals. The Preds put in Eustace Onanen, come back to win 7-5.
You know, I said this at the beginning of the season, Connor, about the Preds and their offseason additions, about the goaltending. I remember asking, I believe it was Willie, in between one of the shows during the week, is it at the beginning of the season, after the Dallas game, where I went to the game and I was thinking, man, Preds are going to win the Stanley Cup, this is going to be great. I just felt the just vibe of Stanley Cup atmosphere, and they just get absolutely shelled. And I believe Scott Wedgwood was in net that night, and I'm just thinking in my head, is it going to be a goaltending by committee? Is it going to be goaltenders by committee? Kind of like running back by committee in the NFL? Is that the way it's going to be? And then once the Preds have made their trade additions when it comes to offloading Wedgwood and then adding on, you know, Eustace Onanen.
Eustace.
What a great name.
Eustace.
Eustace Onanen.
We got two juices in goal. Big juice and little juice. I think big juice is actually Eustace Onanen.
So. Yeah. And it just, getting back to the goaltending situation, like Onanen has proved his worth. And it's a testament to Barry Trotz, too, when he says our scouting department has been eyeing this guy for a while. He said that about Justin Barron, too, and he's starting to catch fire as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I just, you got to give credit to Barry Trotz and that recruiting staff over with the Preds, because even though they had a very rough start and they're kind of behind the eight ball right now, they're clicking, like you're saying. They're starting to click on all cylinders. The first line, I feel like it's like, if one guy wants to score a lot of goals, like say if it's Jonathan Marchessault and Philip Forsberg had that long goal drought, he had assists during that whole entire drought. He was having assist streaks along with all that. And now it's flipped. Now it's Jonathan Marchessault is the one having the assist, and Philip Forsberg is the one scoring all the goals.
If there's one guy I don't put this season's struggles on, it's Steven Stamkos.
Oh, yeah.
He has been a little bit of a slow start for him. Once he got the first one in and the monkey off his back, he has been electric. To say the least.
Oh, yeah.
What was I going to say? I was going to say something about San Jose. Oh, Yaroslav Askarov, which apparently we're supposed to call him that now instead of his actual name, which is Askarov. I feel like we got a little bit of closure with him the other day.
Yes.
Gives up six. Yep. They lose 6-5.
That'd be five. They lost 6-5.
They won 6-5.
The Preds won 6-5. So he gave up 5 goals.
He gave up a lot of goals.
There you go.
Anyways, I feel like we get a little bit of closure with Yaroslav Askarov. I'm ready to say I feel better about the future of the goaltending in Nashville with Eustace Onanen than I did with Yaroslav Askarov. That may be a little bit of a hot take, but I think we all knew when Yaroslav Askarov requested out of Nashville via trade, Barry Trotz was very open, saying we had a plan for him. He was going to get some time here in Nashville. He didn't want to be a part of that. They accommodate his trade request. He goes over to San Jose. Does not look great.
Mm.
Not been great.
Been up and down for him.
Very up and down. I think we all said he wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
The Avengers, that is. If you remember, yes. It was Willie and
D-Mace.
And I was in, I never got named an Avenger, but I was with them. Robbie, Rex Road, all of them defending UC Saros versus Jared and Vingan and a couple of others. I think the Avengers won this battle.
They did.
I think they did.
They sure did.
From the standpoint of Yaroslav Askarov is not ready. Right. UC Saros has been up and down this year too. He did not play well against San Jose the other day, and then Eustace Onanen gets the nod in San Jose. I would venture to say UC Saros will get the start tonight in Anaheim.
Right.
But how much of, you know, sitting out a game and a half does he take with him? Does that give him a little bit of rust? Does he say, I'm playing with an edge tonight? No goals.
No goals. Yeah. No goals. Yeah, I love that.
Good commercial.
It is. No, honestly, I think for Saros, it's more of a bounce back, obviously. It's a refreshing, how do I put this? It's a refreshing thing for him to get back in net. I think when you're a player, especially in any sport, and you're going through a slump, or you're, like, as for him, letting in goals, it's good to finally get a fresh bit of breath there when it comes to going out west. Different scenery, I think Anaheim is a good little test for him to see if he can get back on the right track. I mean, if not, like you said, Eustace Onan has been on fire.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if this team, if the Preds team in general keeps producing goals, as in scoring a lot with 7 goals or 6 goals, continue letting that happen, because it reminds me so much of like Edmonton Oilers style of hockey.
It is.
Where they let in a lot of goals.
High score.
But they score a lot of goals. So if basically if your offense can outweigh your defense, then it's not good, but at the same time you're still winning games.
I was never on the fire Andrew Brunette train.
Right.
I think we can get off of that now.
Oh, 100%.
Because this isn't, I don't think it was his fault to begin with. I think this is more of a player thing. I think his system, like you said, he's dumbed it down a little bit. It's a little more simple. Just go out there and score some goals. And they are.
Putting a little twist to this, to like as a soccer aspect. In soccer, they use like a sweeper keeper in today's modern soccer in a 4-3-3 formation.
Mm.
If you go back and look at a lot of the Preds games this year, and especially I'd say last game against San Jose, Onanen was kind of playing a sweeper-keeper style of hockey. Anytime the puck would go into the Preds zone, if like San Jose was trying to clear it, and this is probably a dumb observation, but he wouldn't just wait for it to go behind the net. It's like he's going after it to put the puck back in quick transition, because that's the way Andrew Brunette wants to play. He wants to play fast in transition. And so I think if you're adding another equation of putting your goaltender as like a third defender tossing like a point guard in some aspect, then you're putting yourself in a really good position to score a lot of goals.
They're just playing more comfortable.
Yeah.
There was a goal the other night against San Jose where I believe it was Marchessault goes behind the net where the place 99 made famous, slings it out to Stamkos, one-timer, slam. I was like, woo, top cheddar.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. Preds obviously in action again tonight, looking to accomplish something in the arena against Anaheim. Let's make that a pick coming up next.
Yeah.
We'll do weekend picks coming up next. Forest Company 1025, 1063, the game. Forest Company 1025, 1063, the game. Looking to accomplish a lot here in the arena. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman behind the glass. Let's get into our favorite segment of the day, the final segment. Weekend picks.
Maybe go undefeated in the arena.
Yeah. We've accomplished a lot today in the arena. This is why we love fan bases. I feel bad we haven't talked about either of these games today, but it's a big weekend in the NFL playoffs. The AFC Championship, the NFC Championship. Who's going to the Super Bowl? We begin with the NFC Championship, the Commies and the Eagles. Nick Frazier, why don't you start us off?
I was telling you earlier in a break, I feel it. I feel Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders.
Brandon Aldridge just swerved off his lane and slammed into a tree.
No,
you say that.
No. Brandon's got a nice new car.
Yeah,
nice,
I know he did.
Fancy.
It's really nice.
No, I think the Commanders get this done. They get it done, man. Something about the Saquon Barkley run game, yeah, that's what sets the tempo for Philly. But this high-octane offense with Washington, look what they did to Detroit. Everybody's probably on the honeymoon phase of, man, this Commanders team, this is it. They're the it factor. I mean, I don't want to over-exaggerate it, but I fell in love with this Jaden Daniels train of the Washington Commanders.
Died in his arms tonight?
Maybe.
Must have been something he said.
Should have walked away. Should have walked away. But I'm not walking away from this. This team's winning, and I think the final score will be 21-17.
I have to counter you.
Okay.
I'm going Eagles. I think Saquon Barkley has a big day in the trenches, over 120 rushing.
Ooh.
Give me 2 touchdowns. But I do think this is a high-scoring game. I think this is shot for shot, blow for blow. I think Jaden Daniels finds Terry McLaurin a couple times. I think Justin Fields. Jalen Hurts finds... Ooh, excuse me. I hope Justin... Why do I keep saying that? Jalen Hurts, I think he finds A.J. Brown a couple times.
Ooh.
Give me the Eagles 38-34.
Whoa.
I think it's a big game.
That'll be a really
high
good
scoring.
Game. Yeah.
That'd be a really good game. I think that's what we're going to get.
So I'm going to break the tie here, huh?
Yeah, you are. It's up to you, Jake Wallman.
Thinking about the way these two teams played in the year makes this for a really, really interesting game tomorrow. I wonder if the Eagles have missed their window of opportunity with Jalen Hurts and making a Super or winning a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. I think it reopened with that running back they got.
Yeah. I got to go with the Eagles. I think and I think it'll be a really good game, but I wonder how
how ready Jaden Daniels is for this level of a game.
That's what I'm thinking. The lights may be a bit too bright for our friend from LSU. Turn off the lights. Anyways, off to the AFC Championship. Big game. Josh Allen, who I believe should be the MVP of the league, versus Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium. Nick Frazier, where do we stand?
If you can't beat them, join them. Give me the Chiefs. I'm going to just keep picking the Chiefs until they prove me wrong, and it seems like the NFL doesn't want to be proved wrong. So I'm taking the Chiefs.
This is it. This is the year the Bills are going to do it.
Really?
They're going to do it. Josh Allen is going to have a good game. I think he has 2 rushing touchdowns. I think he finds Khalil Shakir. And I think the Bills win. I think they're going to the Super Bowl for the first time in 30 years, and we can finally turn our radio dials down so we don't have to listen to Taylor Swift smack talk. I think this is it. Bills and Eagles in the Super Bowl.
You have a score?
I think it's going to be a little bit low scoring. Give me Bills 24, Chiefs 17.
Okay. I'll go 23-20 Chiefs. I say Bucker hits another field goal.
Some people are not going to like that.
No.
Sorry. My bad.
I heard something interesting that, with this matchup. Kansas City knows they can beat Buffalo. Buffalo thinks they can beat Kansas City. And I hope I'm wrong. I really want to be wrong, because the Chiefs are turning into that evil empire style dynasty right now, where everybody's just really tired of seeing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl every year. So I want to pick Buffalo, but my heart says Kansas City. Or my brain says Kansas City. Kansas City 28, Buffalo 20.
I am fine with Lone Wolfing on the Bills. I am perfectly fine with that. Do we want to do a wild card or go Preds?
Yeah, let's do a wild card and Preds if we can. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do both. Preds at Ducks tonight. Not Oregon Ducks, Anaheim Ducks.
Save the Ducks.
The Ducks of Lesser. Where do we go? Will the Preds accomplish something in the Anaheim Arena? Nick Frazier.
Yeah, I say it's a 4-3 win for the Preds. In regulation.
In reggie.
Another get a free, frosty.
Yeah,
get a frosty.
I got one yesterday, by the way, because of that. So, yeah, another free frosty.
I'll go 5-2 Preds. I think Philip Forsberg with 2 goals is a nice bet. I would like Steven Stamkos to get on the board tonight, too. I think the Preds win pretty handedly against a bad Anaheim team. Not that the Preds are a good team, but they're playing the right kind of hockey right now.
Yeah.
I think they get it done.
I'm going to say 3-1 Preds. I think Forsberg gets a goal, and we'll have a goal for Marchessault as well.
First line really getting it done, huh?
Yeah.
They're hot right now.
Everyone picked a first line winger to score.
How about this? Stamkos. I didn't pick a goal scorer. I'm going to go Stamkos.
I said Stamkos too.
Oh, did you?
There we go.
They said Forsberg. My bad.
I did too.
Everybody.
Everybody scores. Wild card pick. Real quick, Nick Frazier, what do we got?
I'm going to go to the rugby, and I'm going to take Australia's women's team to win their Australian, I guess it's in Perth. So rugby sevens in Perth. So
okay.
That's what I'm taking.
Okay. I don't know what that is, but.
Rugby sevens, 7-on-7.
Oh, 7-on-7.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. I'm not going to pick Kentucky Vanderbilt because that's too easy. Kansas and Houston play basketball today, I believe in Kansas. I think Kelvin Sampson goes in and gets business done and takes down the Jayhawks.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
It's going to happen. Jake Wallman, real quick, wrap us up.
I can't pick Tennessee at Auburn because I know what my heart's going to tell me. So give me the Blue Raiders down in Ruston today. Blue Raiders are hot right now. 14-5. 3-point underdog, but I think the Blue Raiders get it done on the road.
A little bit of Blue Raiders love shown on for couple of former Blue Raiders on this show. But that's all the time we have here on Forest Company. Hopefully we accomplished enough for you today. Stay tuned. Big day. Vanderbilt, Kentucky later on today. And then, of course, tonight, pregame beginning at 7 for Preds and Anaheim Ducks. That is all coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
See ya!